Where Armadale anticipated a downturn, Corua was facing a remake. Formerly a logging town, it had been transformed in late 1963 when the Pacific Highway between Raymond Terrace and Taree was diverted from the Bucketts Way to a newly constructed route closer to the coast. This brought the traffic through Corua and it became a highway service town. Gwen Neal.
Once the bridge was built and the highway went through here, it absolutely made the town, and so many businesses sprang up along the highway. And really, it was a highway town because there were so many eating places, and there were 3 service stations opened in the town, and several motels, and of course the hotel. All that came after the highway was routed through Corua.
If Corua was no longer a highway service town, then businesses might close and services be reduced. This prospect gave rise to concerns about the possible economic and social impacts of the bypass. Phil Buchan.
One of the major things that they saw was if businesses closed down, they'd have to travel greater distances to be able to get some of the services that they'd been able to enjoy at Corua. Even some of the local providers, the baker's shop, also the chemist, because there was no doctor in town, and there were a number of things that were concerning the community about their access to services. With the loss of employment opportunities there for the local people and businesses possibly closing down, the social impact was that the community would be poorer. So the economic aspects really did sit pretty much within business closure. And would there be any new investment in the town? Would there be new businesses that would come and open up?
Community consultation is part of the EIS process. So Graham Kinnear set up a community focus group to discuss the proposed routes for the Corua bypass.
Even though the community may be offside to the site of your proposed road, you have to involve them fully. At our first meetings, people have to vent their spleen. So they stand up and they shout at you and they abuse you and they accuse you of having the outcome all cut and dried and we're going through the charade and you've got all these silver tongues. We don't believe you. And you have to let people get that steam out of the system. And then you start to work with the group. And we say, we think we've discovered a couple of options. We go through town, or there's an option to one side here, an option to another side there. But what are your ideas? What do you think? And through that, after many, many sessions, came trust. Came new ideas. And one of those meetings, the community said, do you know, before the National Parks and Wildlife took over the state forest, we used to go through one of the trails, and way upstream, there's an island called Horse Island. Maybe you could cross up there.
This was a big change in attitude. Cliff Johnson nominates 3 factors he thinks might explain what was behind it.
The town itself was concerned that a new 4-lane highway would actually physically create a barrier and interfere with the community activities and break down relationships between people on various sides of the road. Most of the businesses did see a huge impact coming, but as time went on and they saw the impacts of construction of the road actually in front of their businesses, and the possibility of acquisition, so some of the business buildings may have been interfered with, there was a distinct swing from quite a few of the businesses to support for other proposed routes. And also looking at the percentage of traffic that did not want to stop, all they wanted to do was get through Corua. The businesses realised that the percentage of traffic that did actually want to stop at Corua, particularly in the latter years, was quite small.
Once all the investigations for the EIS have been completed, the information is packaged and distributed for comment. Graham Kinnear.
we put together a thoroughly documented and researched package. And we put that out. We say, this is everything we know about the site, from the cost to the impact on the towns and the people and the environment. We think, taking all things into consideration, this is the best proposal we have. Tell us if we've got it wrong.
After the ensuing comments and criticisms have been addressed, the EIS is forwarded to the Minister for Planning for consent to proceed. It was a condition of consent for the Karua Bypass that a committee be set up to develop a social and economic plan for the town. Members of the committee came from the Department of State and Regional Development, the RTA, the Aboriginal Land Council, the Karua Progress Association, business and young people. Phil Buchan was made its coordinator.
So once the committee was established, its job was to work towards the establishment of this plan. The RTA was required to contribute $200,000 towards the plan's development. And the opportunity came about as we started to work with the community through this committee that there were a number of objectives that the community had wanted to get in place as part of the preparation for the bypass and after the bypass. And they were concerned that the $200,000 would be spent on development of a plan without achieving any realistic, I suppose, projects on the ground, etc.
The Department of State and Regional Development's representative on the committee was Ian Mackey.
At that time, I was extremely disappointed with the RTA, with council, with everybody, because it was my opinion that they weren't approaching things the right way. So the department actually left the committee and didn't really take too much notice of what was happening. As far as I'm concerned, everybody underestimated what would happen to Karua way back. They gave them $200,000 to assist them through the bypass and after the bypass, and $200,000 would likely buy them a bench seat in the main street.
The committee determined its objectives, and Phil Buchan's role was to keep them on target.
A number of occasions we actually sat down and talked through what people saw as the future of Karua. So we did our own internal workshops as well, and we utilised opportunities from other council staff to come and talk to the committee, just to ensure that we could provide the fullness of information that was possible, to give the community through that committee an opportunity to know really what was possible in terms of the planning aspects of the town, and also to hear what the aspirations were of the community.